Is modern Israel God's chosen people? Does man have the right to divide up the land of Israel? Is it still belong to God? On this slice of fresh bread. Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Well, thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, where we're bringing the truth of God's Word to a starving world. Fresh Bread Podcast 121. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to play a live version of Fresh Bread. We did an equipping hour in our church. We always do a combined equipping hour every first and third Sundays of the month. And so what we did is we took questions from people in our congregation. We talked about Israel. It was Israel was people's minds. And so what we did was we recorded it and we're playing it for you right now. So this is a live equipping hour that we do in our church. It's also a live Fresh Bread. Hope you enjoy. And see if you guys have any questions. We just going to throw it open to you guys at first and see if there's anything you guys have.
You want to
pray? Should we start in prayer?
Yeah, why don't you pray?
Okay. I'll open us up. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to come together, and we know it's the Lord's Day, and Father, we're ready to glorify and worship you, but we also pray that you sharpen us, Lord, sharpen our discernment, sharpen our wisdom, so that we can know you better, and that we can know when things aren't true. And Father, we just want to be faithful. And we pray that you help us to do that. You help us to grow. We always talk about less of us, more of your Son, Christ. And that's what we want to be. And so we do pray that this equipping hour is devoted to glorifying you, but also sharpening us and making us wise and discerning. And that's what we want to do. And we thank you and we praise you, Father. And we ask all this in your name. Amen.
I just wanted to say that if you guys have any couple of things that are out there that, you know, I'm thinking through and praying through as, you know, like Israel. That's a big question. Israel's a huge question right now, politically and, you know, and also for the church. And how we respond to that question is, I think, going to be critical going forward. And giving, you know, shepherding to that situation, you know, that shepherding people and how to respond to what we see in the news, and, you know, trying to put that together with what, you know, what biblically is, you know, Israel from a biblical standpoint. So I'd love to hear some of your, if y'all have any questions that way. Yes, sir.
So I guess it's on. Yes, I do. It concerns me the level of violence that they're unleashing or have been unleashing on, I guess it's the Hamas and that area, Gaza.
Uh-huh.
Would you say that what they're doing is God's will? Or at what point is it God's will versus just man's will, man's, you know, desire to just bring force and to annihilate?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that we have to look at Israel and understand biblically who they are. Right now, in the world that we live in today, I would call the Jewish people an apostate people. So they have rejected Christ by and large. Not every Jew. There's Jews who have come to know the Lord Jesus. But by and large, as a people, they have rejected Christ. And so, you know, when you look at it historically and you see them, they weren't a nation. Or they were a nation, and obviously Rome destroyed them in AD 70. From AD 70 all the way to 1948, they were not a nation. 1948, they, especially under the direction of the British, they formed Israel as a nation. the question is, what are they? I mean, from 1948 till now, what is Israel? And are they the same as the biblical Israel? And I would say there's a, for me, and what I see that it's yes and both. I think that the current state of Israel is an apostate nation that is not, is outside of Christ, not following Christ, and therefore they're not following Christ, they're outside of Christ, okay? And so what they do isn't necessary, is not reflective of the Lord's will. Like they're not, so if, getting to your specific question, you know, the, what they're doing, you know, some of the atrocities that they've committed in the name of, in the name of preserving the nation, right? I don't condone those things. And that's the issue for the church, because we would see Israel, not everybody in the church, but a lot of people in the church would see Israel as a nation that was formed by God, and obviously AD 70 ceased to be a nation, but that they were chosen by God, and they are still a chosen nation. And I would still say that, right? But what we have to, the nuance that we have to deal with is that there's the biblical Israel and there's this apostate Israel. And I think what happens is that Christians can conflate the two, right? They don't, we don't, people don't think in categories the way they should. So I can have Israel as biblical Israel, right? But then also at the same time, this other nation state Israel, I don't have to see them the same way as I see the biblical Israel. So for them to say, well, I mean, what happens is that people politically conflate the two, and they say, well, I mean, the Ted Cruz thing that's kind of famous right now, you know, the Abraham, you know, whoever blesses Israel, whoever does, you know, God is going to bless, whoever curses him, God is going to curse. You know, and the question is, does that apply to the Israel today, right? And I would say not specifically, right? I can say to them, you are wrong, you are in sin for doing these things, you know, the things that you mentioned, the atrocities you mentioned. But at the same time, see them in a biblical, from a biblical framework. Does that all make sense?
It does. And I think what you're saying is they're the set apart ones within Israel, and then they're the non-set apart ones.
Yeah, I mean, Paul would call it the true Israel. Yeah. That's, and you know, that's, I would argue that Paul is saying that there are who Israelites who are Israelites indeed, like they are truly Israelites. But the only way, the true Israelite, the only way you can be a true Israelite is in Christ.
Right.
Right. You can't, just because you have the blood of a Jewish person doesn't mean that you are true Israel. And so there is, I would argue there's true Israel that's within the overall Israel that we see, that
right,
we get this visible. Just which like is, there's the true church within the visible,
right,
church.
Which is really the remnant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be so quick to jump on the bandwagon of thinking everything is okay with what they're doing.
No.
Gotcha.
No.
That's basically what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I just want to say quick, remember Israel, we have to look at the history of what happened to the Jewish people. And I think when we look at Israel, I think they've really tried to get along with their neighbors. But when you look at the Holocaust and all of that's what happened, like they talk about World War I readied the land for the people, World War II readied the people for the land. They wanted a place where they could go and protect themselves. Like this will never happen again. And I think sometimes they do strike with a lot of force. And I don't know if it's because of that. Like and when we look at the Jewish people, we know that Satan is always trying to come against them. And so we see what's going on with the countries around Israel constantly, but they do sometimes hit back with a lot of force and maybe too much force. But again, as we look at through their eyes, I think what they're trying to do is say, look, we mean business.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between an offensive war and a defensive war. And I think that Israel is well within their rights as a nation state to stand in defense and to protect themselves. I think they're well within their rights to do that. The question becomes when they go out and they start doing things that are more offensive in nature, that like they're, you know, right now, you know, like the West Bank, and they even want to eradicate people. I mean, they're not saying this, but they want the West Bank to be fully controlled by Israel. Well, in order for that to happen, the people that are in the West Bank, what do you do with them? How do you handle them? And, you know, do you extinguish a million people because they don't stand where you believe what you believe? That's where I would say that the line is drawn. If it's a defensive situation where they're defending their sovereignty, I'm good with that. It's where they, you know, do things like exploding pagers and stuff like that, that I begin to go, well, is that really what we need to be doing? You know, is that really defensive? And they would argue it is. They would argue that it's, you know, Netanyahu would absolutely argue that the best defense is a good offense.
Yeah, I was just going to say that along the lines of what you were saying, I don't, you listen to Albert Mohler enough to know he makes that distinction between biblical Israel and the political nation state of Israel, right?
Yeah, yes.
So as that nation that they are, Hamas's goal is nothing but the elimination of every single member of Israel. Mm-hmm. They don't want to win a war. They want that's in their bylaws.
Total annihilation.
In their creed is total annihilation.
Yes.
And it's not like the pager thing and all that was come out of the blue. That's in the response to what happened in October of,
sure,
what was it, 24 or 23 at this point?
23,
yeah. So we're almost 2 years at that. It's a war that was reignited by Hamas. And to me, as, you know, not taking the biblical Israel at all, just saying as their nation, they have the right to continue that battle because they're still hostages.
Sure.
Forget all the people that have been killed that are hostages. You know, that's bad too, but
sure,
they still have hostages.
That's right.
And so to me, it's like, and America has a history of defending Israel as that nation state. And I don't think that had the same tie to biblical Israel. I think it was a strategic thing, but.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of Jewish people that live outside of Israel, and a lot of those live in the United States. And so the United States, because of that Jewish population, has an interest in protecting Israel because we have an interest in protecting people that are within the United States. And so that's where politically they begin to say, well, we got to protect Israel because we're protecting the Jewish people, so to speak. Did you have any further questions, Ken?
No, that's good.
Okay, so in the same line, mm-hmm, my question is this, because Israel has never really been true Israel. They've always been in rebellion, in phases, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, I don't know, I was looking at Israel right now, apostate, yes, but just in the same cycle that Israel has been all throughout biblical history.
Sure.
And so they don't necessarily, they're not being told by God to do this or that or whatever, but it's still following, in, from what I can see, the same pattern is someone who wants to annihilate Israel needs to be handled completely, terminatedly, right? And that's why, and the history of these people in Gaza or whatever has been that the historical dividing up of the people and the land and all that, any country that has taken them, they've rebelled and caused havoc. And that, I believe, is why a lot of those nations are willing to sign on to this peace accord, mm-hmm. is because this is a group of people that just teach hate for everyone other than, mm-hmm. and teach the total annihilation of Israel. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, is it wrong to apply the fact that they've, this history of just trying to annihilate, that it's like, okay, we want to live Israel, political Israel, we want to live it in peace with the people around us, mm-hmm. but this group just cannot be left uncompletely handled.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. Do you have anything to say with that?
Yeah, I was just trying to, that you're saying that, you know, they have to be dealt with like God would deal with them in the past. God would use, you know, different nations to judge them. And then,
well, I mean, that's what's happening now.
Yeah.
I see the hand of God using other nations, these rogue nations, to judge Israel. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, I wasn't saying the other nations judging Israel.
God is judging Israel through other nations.
Oh, I was looking a different direction. Okay. I was looking at the Palestinians have caused havoc, mm-hmm. every nation that's taken them in.
Sure.
Right? And so that would be why all these other nations would be willing to sign onto the peace accord.
Sure.
Is because they know that either Hamas will agree and actually, you know, demilitarize and all of that, mm-hmm. or Israel will be left to do the other alternative they have, which really seems to be total annihilation of these, mm-hmm. people who've caused such havoc all throughout the region.
Sure.
So to me, it's more like, not that God is telling Israel to handle them, but there's no other biblical option that I can see from historically when a nation was just about it, truly, truly intent upon annihilating Israel. Mm-hmm. It seems that in the Bible, God has said, okay, I loose you against them because they just can't continue to exist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. Or else they'll start that again.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think we're heading to that, right? We're talking about the tribulation and all the things coming that God will judge the earth in that time. But yeah, as far as... it's funny because when you look at what's happening, it is such a complicated... it's gotten to be so complicated, and that Bible does talk about during the end times, things will be so complicated, no one figure out how to solve it. But then one person will rise up and say, I will solve it. You know, like, you know, we talk about the Antichrist, somebody who says, I have all the answers. We did a podcast once on how, I mean, we love Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is amazingly how he fits the criteria for an Antichrist, because people are like kind of afraid of him, and he's a negotiator and he gets things done. But not that he is, but he has that same kind of quality. The Antichrist will be even more, here's what we're going to do.
Right. And we watched when he was speaking with Bibi Netanyahu, and yeah. President Trump was saying, well, this is an eternal peace, and we're going to have peace and prosperity. And I'm like, oh.
He does kind of talk, and the golden age. What is he talking about? The golden. Yeah. So, but it's funny because I think I heard Dennis Prager say this one time, and I think it's true. You guys can, what you tell me what you guys think, but he said if the Palestinians, if the Hamas and these guys laid down all their arms right now, they said, we're not going to fight anymore, there would be peace. If Israel said, okay, we're just going to lay our arms down, we're not going to fight anymore, they would be wiped out. So he said there's a huge difference there. And like Brandon was saying, they're trying to fight a defensive war. I don't know how war is. It's so weird right now when you look at how wars are fought. Like they're trying to fight them so precisely. Like, because what you're doing is Hamas is taking hospitals and they're building their hideouts and whatever they are underneath hospitals and schools. And it's like, how do you fight a war like that? You can't. I mean, there's nothing you can do unless, you know, but like I remember someone once said, war is just, it's destroying things and killing people. That's what a war is. But you can't do that anymore. You have to be, you know, oh, we're just going to kill one guy out of these five. And then, you know, but it's just, they can kind of do it with technology, but that's what I mean. I don't know what the answer to all this is. I don't think they're trying to do this two-state solution, which I think that's what Trump is pushing, right? The two-state, where they would be a Palestinian state and an Israeli state. He wants to make, like, the Gaza this resort, you know, because you're on the ocean. He's always thinking of, like, hotels and kind of making it. But I don't know if that's what... I mean, I'm sure there are some people there, Palestinian people that are caught in the middle of this that don't want any part of this. But then there's the Hamas leaders who are kind of pushing all this. The history of that is so diabolical when you read, you know, when you read the history of when Israel became a nation, all the I guess they call them Palestinian people were there and they were given the opportunity to leave, but Jordan didn't want them, Syria didn't want them, Egypt didn't want them, so they were kind of these orphans. So Israel did the best they could to kind of make an area for them, but then there were all these wars that all the Arab countries that started attacking Israel. And when you look at what Israel was given in 1948, they were given a small piece. They were excited to get that. They didn't even have Jerusalem. That was not part of the deal. And then in 1967, they through the war, they took that back, and that was a big moment in for them. But they've kept expanding their land as these wars, as the Arab countries have tried to push them out. They've actually gained more land, but they've then given a lot back, you know. The Sinai Peninsula, they took that and they gave it back, you know, to Egypt. And the Golan Heights, they took that and they gave that back. So it's just like all this constant battle. But I mean, it's interesting when we read it, we see the end times talking about Israel's going to be one of these things where no one can figure out what to do with it. And we're talking about them right now in the year 2025, which is amazing that we are. And there's a lot of speculation on how to deal with this, you know, and it's almost beyond what man can do. It has to be through God, I think. Did you want to say something, Mark?
Yeah, looking at back when Joshua was leading them into Israel, and the instructions were, you know, go here, knock these people off. Take them all out. I think of Agag, hacking Agag to death, you know, Agag was, the king was spared, and who was the priest?
The same thing.
Yeah, he came in and he hacked them up, you know, because that was the way, that was the way it, you know, that's just the way God designed for them to have their country. And also, Israel was defined by God as far as its boundaries, you know, between here and here, and, you know, the rivers and such. And it's nowhere, I mean, Gaza was not in there, is my understanding. So, I mean, from a biblical perspective, should we be looking for Israel to assume the God-defined boundaries, you know, and that being Israel, because God defined it way back then? Is that a perspective that we should have look through when we look at what's happening in the world and all these negotiations? It's, you know, we can just see it's not there.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that the Israel that we see today is not true Israel, and that ultimately God will establish them in the land. And that, I think that's the point of the tribulation period, where he will purify his people. And, you know, it says it in Romans 11, and all Israel will be saved. And I would take that to be that the Jewish people that are living in that day when this happens will be saved, that God will save them and he will establish them in the land. You know, that will be the boundaries of the land. And under Joshua, they never realized that, right? They never fully conquered the people. And so I think that in the future, true Israel will be established in the land, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. Have you guys ever watched a movie called The Chosen? Not the TV show, but it was a movie with Robbie Benson. back in the old days. It's a really interesting movie because it goes into 1948 when the debate was going on between, you know, should Israel be a nation? And the United Nations was voting on should Israel become a nation. And so you had the religious Jews, who Robbie Benson was one of these guys that wore the hats and had the curls. His dad was a rabbi, and he was against it. He did not want Israel. He said, there's no way that only God can do that. The United Nations can't create a nation. Hmm. The other kid's dad, he was more modern Jewish kid, and his dad was leading the fight more politically to get Israel as a nation. And then they were really good friends growing up, and when the vote happened and they were debating it, the conservative guy forbid his son to talk to the other son, like, you can't talk to him anymore. So, but it was really interesting how that happened, and when we look at that, we look at it as, you know, Israel needed a land because they were, you know, they just had come out of the Holocaust. They needed some place to be safe, and they were going to protect themselves. This is never going to happen. That was their slogan, right? Never again.
Never again.
Never again will this happen. And when you watch, even going back a little bit farther, going back in, I watch movies a lot, but Fiddler on the Roof is another one where it's taking place around 1900, maybe the late 1800s, where they're in Russia. And the way that they're treated is horrible. I mean, they build a little city, and the Russians come in and say, "No, you got to get out of here. You got to move." You know, oh, okay. So they just keep moving around. They didn't have a place, and that's why we talk about the wandering Jews, right? Ever since they lost 70 A.D., they just dispersed all over Europe, and then they've been treated like they were just horrible. Like, people have always hated the Jewish people. I think we did a podcast on that because they are very industrious, and they are very good at, like, selling things and buying things, and they work their way up. They're very shrewd in that way, and I think some people look at that and get jealous. But anyway, the Jewish people have always struggled with that. And so anyway, in 1948, like we talked about, was that God's will for that to happen, or was it just some Israelis or some Jewish people wanted a place where they could be safe? And I think, Ricky, you brought it up. Was that God's will? Well, we know God is sovereign, so everything happens for a reason. We see it as, you know, the end times. It talked about, and some people maybe interpret it different, but Ezekiel, you know, the nation will rise up again. And that starts like a time clock, you know, in the prophecy. Like, oh, wow, 1948, that was big because Israel's back in the land again. But they're not. They're not living, like Brandon said, Christ-centered. They are thinking they're doing all the Jewish things, but they want to build a temple. That's the next thing they want to do. They want another temple. They want a third temple so they can start sacrificing again, which you can see in our world today, how popular that would be with animal rights people and all this stuff going on. And they'd be even more hated, but that's what they want to do. You know, that we just came out of Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, which is that's how they don't have a temple anymore, so they have one day a year where they repent, ask God for forgiveness. That's their one. That's how they do it now. But they want to go back. At least some of them do. Mm. There's so many different divisions among the Jewish religion too, right? There's the Hasidic, and there's all these different sects that are more conservative than others. And
well, yeah, I mean the Israel that we see today, the visible Israel we see today, is definitely made up of a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different type of people. And what we have to recognize is that there's the visible Israel that we see, but then there's the true Israel and the Israel of God. And, you know, and I would see them as a nation among the nations, right? And I certainly would never say that their salvation is going to be found in their genetics, right? It's their salvation is in Christ. And so basically, you know, God has chosen the ones he's going to save. And in my biblical understanding, he's going to use them according to his purpose. and they're going to be a nation among the nations, and that they're going to be I would say they're a kingdom of priests, that they're going to be the nation that everybody goes to, that the other nations stream to, and that's going to be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom.
A follow-up question kind of to that. If Israel right now is an apostate nation and not part of God's plan for Israel, then how do we know when that time comes when they are, when we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we are blessed when we bless Israel and cursed when we curse Israel? Like, when does that time come, and how do we know?
We're out of time. We'll get to that.
We're almost out of time.
It's a good question.
Yeah, I think that we will know. You know, I it's interesting because I'm not advocating that we curse Israel, even the nation state. I mean, I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying that we need to be able to have categories and of understanding of who they are today versus who God means them to be, right? And so we have to look at how they are. Now, the question you have is that I guess one way to look at it would be, when everything else is eliminated and you have true Israel, that's when we'll know for sure that that's the Israel that God intends them to be. But how do we know when that's going to happen? That's a matter of prophecy. And you know, I would argue that Israel is currently on an exodus, that God has scattered them, Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30. God has scattered them among the nations, and that he's going to lead them back to Israel, to the land, and he's going to make them a nation. And I would argue that we're in that exodus now. Like, they've been scattered, and now they're being brought back from these Gentile lands, and ultimately he's going to bring them back, and he's going to purify them, and he's going to purify them during the tribulation period.
Yeah. I agree. Ricky has a question.
I don't have a question. I just have as the Lord's Prayer says, we should just pray that the Lord's will be done, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Ricky's just asking how we should pray. And and we should pray that the Lord's will would be done in all this, and that he would make it clear to us that he's not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace, and that we would be at peace in understanding how to view this world, the world that we live in.
Yeah, and I would say this is partly why I can speak for you too, because we, you know, coming from Master's Seminary, we view prophecy as, you know, this is happening. This is why we see that God is not finished with Israel yet, because there is just this continuous world hatred for Jewish people. And if God was done with them, I don't think Satan would even bother with them. But we see Satan continually over and over.
Yeah,
the Jewish people are just hated.
We're talking about way less than 1% of the world population, and you know that has full attention of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and why is that? I mean, I think that's what he's getting at, is that they're still on the world stage because God does have a plan for them. And Satan knows it. Satan knows that there's a plan for Israel, that God has a plan for Israel, and that part of that plan is judging Satan ultimately. And so Satan basically is trying to prevent that. And he's I would say he's working overtime within the people of Israel. Like, he's working overtime to destroy them. But I think he's trying to Satan wants to destroy them from within. And that God is going to pull them out of that and ultimately bring them to a safe harbor. You know, and so as we look at them today, how do we discern all that? How do we try to understand what's going on? I mean, do they have the right to defend themselves? Do they, you know, to what extent does that matter, or can they do that? I think at this point we have to judge them in terms of how we would judge any other nation state. I think in Israel, we have to say, you know, we have to look at them and say, yeah, that they're a nation state. They're a secular nation today, and they need to be held under the same to the same account as any other nation. But that doesn't, again, that doesn't mean I'm not. What I'm not saying is that Israel is not special, because they are. I mean, we have to, and I think we should recognize that. If that makes sense.
Okay. So the follow-on to Jenny's question is, and I don't know this because I don't know the Old Testament really well, but the idea that there were nations when they would help Israel would be blessed, right? Mm-hmm. In those circumstances, mm-hmm. was Israel, they weren't being true Israel, they were being apostate. So
yeah, I mean, going back to what you said earlier, Israel definitely has a history of up and down, you know, during the time of the judges, you know, when, you know, Joshua led them on the conquest, and during the time of the judges, they spiraled down, and they were defiant of God, and there was all these things going on in Israel. Then you had Saul, and ultimately David. David united Israel under one monarch. And, you know, obviously when David died, Solomon was his son and ruled over Israel. And then after that, then you had Israel and Judah split under the Rehoboam or Jeroboam. Jeroboam. What's that?
One was leading one.
Yes.
One was leading the other.
That's right.
That's the two leaders.
Yes. And so then you get this period of again, like the judges, the degradation to the point where Israel is taken captive by Assyria and Judah is taken captive by Babylon, and now they're no longer a nation. But there has been this total cycle throughout the centuries. But one thing is constant is that they're always there, right? Mm-hmm. They're always a people. They are a people, right? And that from the very beginning, from, well, I said from the very beginning, but from the time of you say Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. Yeah, I mean, from that point forward, they've always existed. And they've been, I would argue that they've been God's favored, God's chosen nation, right? But what are they chosen for? They're chosen so that God could pour out his blessings on all the nations. And I think they've turned that upside down, right? They've turned it where they're to be a blessing to the nations, but they've turned into something completely different than that. And I think that's God's purpose, is he's going to reestablish them and make them be what he intended them to be, which is a blessing, a light to the nations. Genesis, I think it's Isaiah 49, he intended them to be a light to the nations. But we have to recognize that in order to do that, it has to be through Christ. Like, they can't, it's not going to be as a nation state. It's going to be when they look upon the one whom they have pierced and they realize what has happened. And Isaiah 53 will be fulfilled. Isaiah 53, 52 and 53, I see them as a prophecy of fulfillment that's going to be fulfilled. That it's not something that's happened already, and that they will realize what they've done, that they've killed their Messiah. And that's when I think those who recognize are the ones who are going to set apart. So
I see. Very good. Thank you.
It's a very complicated subject, and there's so many different opinions.
Yeah.
And you know, within this room, almost everybody here has a different opinion, right? We're just trying to do our best to just give you an understanding of the issues, and how to maybe categorically think about it, as opposed to, you know, finding, you know, your understanding from the world and what the world is saying, trying to understand it from a biblical point of view and seeing it from through the lens of biblical history. But we're out of time.
Yeah, we need to end this so you guys can get breakfast. So let me pray us out, and we'll get something to eat. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and Father, it is so complicated sometimes, Lord, as we look at our world and we look at Israel and all the trouble that's going on there. And Father, as human beings, we can't figure out how to solve that. But Father, everything's happening the way that you want it to, and you are sovereign, and you work through all of these, and we just pray that your will continue to work. We do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We do pray that whatever happens then happens, Lord. We know that, again, you are in charge, and we just pray that you just intervene in that situation, and Father, give us wisdom as well, that when we look at these things, that we look at them through our biblical worldview and not our human worldview, and try to see things that way, but see things through our biblical lens. Again, pray that you bless the remaining time that we have today together here, that we glorify you with all that we do, and we ask all this in your name. Amen.
You've been listening to Fresh Bread, podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening.